Welcome to The Word Made Plain with Senior Pastor Tony Clark of Calvary Chapel Newport News in Virginia. Currently, Pastor Tony is teaching a study in the book of Deuteronomy. Please open your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 2.
Within a couple of months of me getting saved, I was teaching Bible studies. I didn't know much, but I taught what I knew. And I used to go around because God was dumping so much knowledge on me through reading and studying and memorizing things. And it was just like, whoa, that, you know, I started to pick fights with people theologically and verbally so I can defeat them with words. And I was just this little cocky, arrogant, full of myself person. Not many people wanted to be around me because I was always trying to correct. I felt that I had to be the one to correct everybody. And I had to be the one to know that's not 1 Corinthians 2:4, it's 1 Corinthians 2:5. Don't be playing with God's word. Wow. It was just like, are you kidding me? I look back, you know, I was young. I was maybe 20 years old at the time. I mean, and I used to do that. And this is why I believe that God was telling the Israelites these things, because I believe that they were feeling themselves and getting a little prideful. And but you know how I know? Because it takes one to know one. And I know the tendencies. I know the attitude. I can see it a mile away. I could. Looking to pick a fight with folks. Look at verses 10 through 12. The Eman had dwelt there in times past, a people as great and numerous as and tall as the Anakim. They were also regarded as giants like the Anakim, but the Moabites called them Eman. The Horites formerly dwelt in Seir, but the descendants of Esau depossessed them and destroyed them from before them and dwelt in their place, just as Israel did to the land of their possessions, which the Lord gave them. Now, these are some incredible verses. The Eman, who were a part of the giants as the Anakim once dwelt in the area of Mount Seir, but the descendants of Esau depossessed and defeated them, according to verse 12. Oh, this tells me a lot that the giants, watch this, that the Israelites were afraid of were defeated by the descendants of Esau. And they dwelt in the land that was supposed to be given to the Israelites. And I believe that there are things and promotions and that God wanted to give us, but because we were afraid of the giants or how big the project was, someone else has what God ultimately wanted us to have. And I believe this. That area, God wanted to give to the Israelites, but they were afraid of the giants. So guess who came and swooped in and took that part of the land? The Edomites, the descendants of Esau. They took and they dwelt there because they defeated the giants. They were not afraid of the giants. And I believe that there are things that God wanted us to have, but because we shrank back in fear, someone faced that giant, defeated it, and got what God ultimately had for us. And this is what we see here. We're going to be blown away at what God wanted to give us, but we allow fear to keep us from possessing it. And someone else, like the Edomites, are enjoying what God had for us. I believe this wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. But we're not done. Look at verses 13 through 15. Now rise and cross over the valley of Zered. So we cross over the valley of Zered. And the time we took to come from Kadesh Barnea until we crossed over the valley of Zered was 38 years, until all the generation of the men of war was consumed from the midst of the camp, just as the Lord had sworn to them. For indeed, the hand of the Lord was against them to destroy them from the midst of the camp until they were consumed. Now, in these verses, we we see how Moses tells them the time they took to cross over the valley of Zered, which was the southernmost part of Moab, until they came to Kadesh Barnea was 38 years, until all the men of war was consumed from the midst of the camp, according to verse 14. Now we know from Numbers chapter 14, verse 29, that the age of the men of war was 20 years old and above. So that means from 19 years old and below, we're not held responsible for disobeying the Lord. You know, we talk all the time about the age of accountability. In biblical times, it seems to be from 19 years old and below. Now, we look at a 19-year-old today and say, you're trying to say they're innocent of what they have done? Well, it's different today. In biblical times, it seemed to have been 19 years and below. But today, the age of accountability can be as young as 6, 7, 8 years old. It depends on each individual child and what that age is. It varies. This is why we need to be giving our children the gospel of Jesus Christ and urging them to accept Christ as early as they can. Because the age of accountability can vary from child to child. It can vary from individual to individual. And this is that age of accountability where they truly, truly know right from wrong. I mean, you know, you can have, you know, the Bible says in Psalm 58, verse 3, that the babies come forth out of the womb speaking lies. So, but we're talking about when a child really, really knows right from wrong. When is that age? We don't know. It varies. One little indicator that I like to look at. This is the indicator. You're going to love this. One little indicator that lets me know that a child is aware of something. You remember when Adam and Eve, before they sinned, they were in what is called the age of innocence. It was before the fall. Then once they failed, then all of a sudden, watch this, they were aware of their nakedness and they tried to sew fig leaves together. So that's always an indicator for me. Normally, little children, you could take off the diaper and they run around just naked. Yeah, just getting it. And they can do that for years. But all of a sudden, when they walking around like this, they have become aware of their nakedness. And to me, that's the age when they become aware that they're naked. Prior to that, they're in the age of innocence. But when they become aware of their nakedness and they're going around, Mommy, why'd you do that? Why'd you do that? And they're going out like this. Their eyes have been opened like Adam and Eve, and they knew that they were naked. That's the age. And that can vary from each child. That can vary. Girls can become aware faster than boys. Whatever that is, that's the age right there. You better be preaching the gospel to them, giving them that word, tell them to repent of their little wicked sins. And accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. Do it in a hurry. And that's, to me, that is the age. But in biblical times, I mean, the people who, the ones that God said, you will not enter the promised land, when they refused to go in, it was from those who can go to war from 20 years old and above. That meant from 19 on back, God allowed them to live. It's amazing. I'm just sure. I it would have been me. Hey man, when your birthday? Man, I made it too, man. And so that is the age of accountability. So 19 years old and 19 years old and back, they were considered innocent. They were not responsible. Look at verses 16 through 19. So it was when all the men of the war had finally perished from among the people, and that the Lord spoke to me, saying, this day you are to cross over to Ar, the border of Moab. And when you come near the people Ammon, do not harass them or meddle with them, for I will not give you any of the land of the people of Ammon as a possession, because I have given it to the descendants of Lot as a possession. So when the men of war had finally perished or died, God told them to cross over into Ar, which was the northernmost part or the border of Moab. And then God tells them what he told them in verse 4. And then again in verse 9, do not even come near the people of Ammon. Do not harass them nor meddle with them either, because of Lot. God will honor us if we live right for him long after we are gone from the earth. Here it is, centuries since Lot lived. But here God is honoring the descendants of Lot because of how he lived. The same is true for the Israelites. God is doing all of this for them, giving them this land flowing with milk and honey, because of the promise that he made with Abraham centuries earlier. So to it, if the Lord should tarry, our children and children's children will experience a level of blessings because we tried to live for the Lord in our time. This is what the Moabites and the Ammonites were experiencing because of Lot. Now, if you read Lot's story in Genesis chapters 19 and 20, you say, Lot was a character. But when you read in 2 Peter 2, verse 7, it calls Lot righteous Lot, and how Lot tormented his soul by living in Sodom and Gomorrah. So he was righteous according to God, even though I read Genesis and I said he's far from righteous. However, God saw him as righteous. And because he was righteous, God is honoring, and the Ammonites and Moabites are experiencing blessings because of Lot. Or something else is here too. It doesn't matter how you came into this world, no matter how you were conceived, there can be blessings upon your life as a result of it. The Moabites and the Ammonites came as a result of incest. But here God is blessing them. You could have come into this world by way of sexual immorality. Your parents were not married. But God can still bless. It doesn't matter how you came into this world. You're here. And there's a level of blessings that can come upon you no matter how you were brought into this world. And we see the Ammonites and the Moabites are an example of this. And so look at verses 20 to 23. It says, that was also regarded as the land of the giants. Giants formerly dwelt there, but the Ammonites called them the Zamzumim, a people as great and numerous and tall as the Anakim. But the Lord destroyed them before them, and they depossessed them and dwelt in their place, just as he had done for the descendants of Esau, who dwelt in Seir, when he destroyed the Horites from before them. They depossessed them and dwelt in their place even to this day. And the Avim, who dwelt in villages as far as Gaza, the Camphorim, who came from captor, destroyed them and dwelt in their place. Now, in these verses, we see that the Ammonites dealt with the giants as well. They called them the Zamzumin, according to verse 20. However, they defeated them and dwelt in their land, according to verse 21. Oh, this, you know, I was studying this and I said, wow. Because this shows us that everyone have their giants they have to deal with. Why? Because Paul will later say in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there is no temptation taking you, but watch this, but such as is common to man. Everyone has their battles. Everyone has their giants to fight. You may call your giant the Anakim. Somebody else may call him the Zamzumin. Or you may call your giant the Emim or Goliath. But we all go through our giant problems that to us seem insurmountable. The real question is, are you going to be like the Israelites and run from your giant problem? And let someone else enjoy what could have been yours? Or are you going to face your giants like David did and defeat them like the Ammonites did and the Edomites did and enjoy what God has for your life? The choice is yours. All of us are going to face our giants. And no matter what, let me tell you, you're not alone. Everyone faces giants. Everyone faces giant problems. Are you always going to run from yours? You run. There's a sign of trouble, you run. A sign of trouble in the marriage, you run. A sign of trouble in some relationship, you run. A sign of trouble at a job, you run to another. And you never will experience all that God has for your life. Because every time a giant come, you run. It's always going to be a giant. It's just going to be a different name. Maybe Zamzumin this time, Eman next time, Anakim the next time, or it may come as Goliath. It's coming. No matter what, you keep running. You're going to keep running because there's always going to be another giant. It's always going to be another one. And are you going to constantly run, or one day are you going to just say, you know what? I'm not running this time. I'm going to do like what I saw, last night on the Matrix. It was, he just said, I'm not running this time. He turned around. He had to face the agent. He got some body blows in, but he got some licks in too. I just saw it last night. I'm sorry. I just saw it. It was on TV last night, and then they had the trilogy on, There's always going to be a giant. There's always going to be, it's going to be another one. Even if you face and you beat the Goliath, don't forget, according to 2 Samuel, Goliath had four other brothers, counting him, it was five. Why do you think that David picked up five smooth stones? Did he think he was just going to miss and he got four of the rocks to throw? No, he was going to take one was for Goliath. And just in case his four brothers are feeling a certain way because he got Goliath, he got a rock for them too. Yeah. So for you runners, those who have your track shoes on and you always running from your giant problems, just know there's going to be another one. It's going to be another one. One day you're going to have to face it. One day you're going to have to be David, and you're going to have to face, and your Goliath may have a name. It may not be Goliath. It may be something else, but it's going to have a name and you're going to have to face it. Stop running. Now stop running from it. So this is what we see. And the choice is yours, whether you're going to run or face it. Look at verses 24 and 25. It says, rise, take your journey and cross over the river Arnon. Look, I have given into your hand Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it and engage him in battle. Says, this day I will begin to put the dread and fear of you upon the nations under the whole heaven, who shall hear the report of you and shall tremble and be in anguish because of you. Now, in these verses, we see God is telling them to cross over Now he's telling them to engage in battle Sihon the Amorite and possess his land, according to verse 24. And the battle will be so clear that God did it that all of the other nations will be dreadfully afraid of the Israelites, according to verse 27. See, here's the thing. When God is on our side, the report of this will get around about what God is doing in our lives personally and as a church. People are talking about this church around the world. I hear about the phone calls, the letters, the Facebook stuff. People are talking about you. They're talking about what the Lord is doing here. Amazing thing. When God is on your side, sky's the limit. Look at verses 26 to 30. And I send messengers from the wilderness of Kedemoth to Sihon, king of Heshbon, with words of peace, saying, let me pass through your land. I will keep strictly to the road, and I will turn neither to the right nor to the left. You shall sell me food for money that I may eat, and give me water for money that I may drink. Only let me pass through on foot, just as the descendants of Esau who dwelt in Seir and the Moabites who dwell in Arn did for me until I crossed the Jordan to the land which the Lord our God is giving us. But Sihon, king of Heshbon, would not let us pass through, for the Lord your God hardened his spirit and made his heart obstinate, that he might deliver him into your hand as it is this day. Now, in these verses, we see that the Lord was giving his people the victory. However, they were still polite and sent them words of peace. In verse 26, they asked for permission to pass through the area. They just didn't come through and just say, God told us we'd come through here. Get out of the way. And you're going to sell us some food and some water. No. They would buy food and they will pay for water like they did with the Edomites and the Moabites, according to verse 29. But the king of Sihon refused to let the Israelites pass through because verse 30 says that he had a hard and obstinate heart. Once again, not everyone will be happy with what God is doing in your life personally, nor at our church. Not everyone will be happy. Sure, there are a lot of people around the world who wish they can sit in seats like you are right now. But there are people that are not happy for us. And that just comes with the territory. That just comes with the territory. There's people whose hearts are hard, just like this. But once again, we have to do what the Israelites did and be courteous towards them. And we need to do what Romans 12:18 says. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Live peaceably with all men. Let's just go ahead and just close in prayer right now. And Lord, we just pray, God, that you would just be here with us. We pray your peace. We pray your blessings upon us. Lord, thank you so much for your word. And we pray, God, that you would just engrave your word upon our hearts. And God, we just pray that your presence would be here with us, that you would be Jehovah Rapha. You would be the God who hears and a God who is there. Jehovah Shammah, the God who is there. So Lord, be with us here. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. We love you because you first loved us and you demonstrated your love toward us by sending Jesus to go to the cross. So thank you, Lord, for this time. You're so good, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name. Amen.
If the Word Made Plain has been a source of inspiration and encouragement to you, why not consider becoming a Word Made Plain giving partner to keep this listener-supported program on the air? As a giving partner, you join forces with Calvary Chapel Newport News' Kingdom Vision of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can make your tax-deductible gift online at calvaryNN.org or send your gift of any amount to 15553 Warwick Boulevard, Newport News, Virginia, 23608, and receive a gift from Calvary Chapel Newport News as our thank you. In addition to your financial support, we ask that you pray for the Word Made Plain broadcast, that it touches hearts and generates change in the lives of people around the world. We pray you've been blessed by God's Word today and hope you'll tune in next time to hear the Word Made Plain.